Nothing like coming to church on the Lord's Day. Lost out in the world, didn't care much about the Lord's Day, and then saved me. I was working at a grocery store, and the grocery truck would come in every Sunday morning. And I'd go there and unload that truck. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I'd go in there and I'd still unload that truck, but I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd make sure I unload it fast enough I could get back to church in time. So I know God will change your life. He changed mine. He turned my life around. How do you know you got saved? Well, He turned my life around. You see, there's evidence in my life that He did save me because He turned my whole life around. I even have people that come up to me after I got saved and say, you sure have changed. And I said, well, thank you. And there ought to be evidence in our life each and every day that God has saved us. I'm thanking for our church, thanking He put us here. He placed us in His body. If you have your Bible this morning, be finding the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 12. While you're finding that, I want to read one verse found in 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 6. It says in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse number 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I want to take my lesson this morning and find out of this text in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. And I want to look at these next seven verses found here. And I wrote down suffering for Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, God has changed my title on the way to church this morning. I want to name it this: God's got something better than gold. You see, He said the trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes. Let me tell you, as God is working something in each one of our lives through His omnipotence and by His providence that we could not work. There's things He's doing in your life that He's making you much more valuable than gold itself. You see, if you looked on the stock market today and you looked at it, everything is going up or down. But I tell you what's not, and that's gold. Let me tell you what, God's got something better than gold this morning. He's got gold, but something better than gold sitting in every section of this church. And He's working things in your life that only He could do and only that He could perform. I want to say, let's read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I want to teach this morning on something better than gold. You say, what's going to make me better than gold? Let me tell you what it is. It's not so much God's presence. It's not so much God's power. But let me tell you what it is. It's called the thing called trials and sufferings. You see, God has got something more valuable than gold, and He's working it out in each one of our lives, and He's doing it through sufferings. You see, Jesus was the captain of our salvation made perfect through sufferings. I looked up the word sufferings in the dictionary, and this is what Noah Webster defined it back then. He said it was to feel or bear what is painful. He said disagreeable or distressing, either to the body or mind, to undergo. We suffer pain of the body, and we suffer grief of mind. He said to endure, to support, to sustain, and not to sink under. You see, each one of us is going to have sufferings in our life. You know, I wish I could stand up here this morning and say you'd never suffer for the cause of Christ. I wish to say, I could tell each one of y'all never have a pain, You'll never have a heartache. You'll never have a care. You'll never have a worry. But I can't tell you that this morning, because I know from a fact, from my own Christian experience, that God has taken us through some things, and He's taken me closer to Him through sufferings. You see, that I'm not the Christian. I tell you, think about this. You wouldn't be the Christian you are today without suffering. You see, if we had it all easy and it was all our way every time, you see, nobody would ever suffer. And there would never be any heartaches, and there would never be any pains. But let me tell you what you'd lose out on. You'd never know who really Jesus was. You see, because you'd forget to call on Him. You'd forget to go to Him. You'd forget to approach Him. You would begin to lay down the things that God has laid aside for your fellowship and for your precious time with the Lord that only He can prepare. You see, those sufferings are going to bring you closer to Christ. And I can't say they're all joyous. But I'll tell you what Peter said. He said that you can rejoice in them. And I want to look at four things this morning found in here, in this text, and draw out some things about suffering. I want to say this. There was a man approached one day, and he asked him this question. He said, "What brings greatness in one's life?" It was a senior pastor of a church, and he was approached by a younger pastor. He said, "What brings greatness in one's life?" You know what the dear pastor thought on it for a second, and he didn't know really how to answer it, and this is what he said. He said, trouble, and more trouble. You see, what's going to bring greatness in your life? It's always going to be trouble. Because trouble is going to take you to where God is. See, God changed my direction and my message. I've been studying all week in 1 John chapter number 2. I wanted to follow up from the last time I taught, and God changed my direction yesterday morning. Let me tell you, there's trouble out there, but let me tell you what it is. There's a God out there that will get in your trouble with you. And we'll look at that verse here in a second. But I want to say, first of all, you'll see the certainties of suffering. It's certain that we're going to suffer. If you look down in verse number 12, it said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Peter was writing to that church, you know, and he laid it down in this epistle. He was telling them, hey, don't think it's strange when that trial comes upon you, because you know what? It's certain. You see, Peter was a man that suffered some of the heartaches. Peter was a man that suffered some of the pain. Peter was a man that was all about himself, like much of us are, if we were to admit that. You see, Peter, Peter was the one that said, "I go a-fishing." He was the one that would step out. Peter was a man of faith, but also Peter was also a man of great suffering. And he would suffer for the cause of Christ. And only those sufferings could bring him to where he was in his life. And he told him here in this epistle, he said, "You can bet one thing, it's going to be certain." And I wished I could tell you it wasn't going to be. There's going to be things that you're going to have to suffer through. I was at the hospital yesterday, and I was just looking on it, and I thought about it. You know, it was all the people that I saw that was in there that was suffering. And I looked, and God had already started working in my mind about this Sunday school lesson. And I began to think about it. All these people in here suffering, but God's working it out for His glory. And God's doing certain things that only that suffering can bring. Only that certain suffering can bring them closer to Christ. And that's what Peter was telling him. He said there's always certainties of suffering. I want you to know, first of all, they're prepared by the Master's hand. You see, God's only going to let you have what He can put on you. You say, "Well, what do you mean?" You remember when Peter, he was there, I think it's in Luke 23, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." You know what he was saying? He said, there's going to be some things that's going to come up in your life you're going to have to suffer for. And guess what? Don't think that you're in there alone. I've got it prepared. I remember my grandmother, when we used to go down to her house, she had a big old mixing bowl. It was a big old wood bowl. It was huge. And she always kept flour in it. And let me tell you what she'd do. That flour was for a specific purpose. You know what that purpose was? It was to make biscuits. And she never did. I mean, every time she'd get by groceries at the grocery store, she'd take it, pour more flour into it. And it never did cover it up. You know, a lot of you won't say, "Well, I don't know about that these days." She never did cover it up. But I tell you what she did. She'd bring out, and we'd get up on morning the time, and we'd smell the coffee. But let me tell you what she'd be doing. She'd pull out that old sifter, and she'd scoop it down in there, and she'd start doing like this. And you know what would come out? All that old flour that was all lumpy, all that old flour that was all cloddy, let me tell you what it was doing. It was sifting it fine so she could make those biscuits that would rise up. You know what Jesus was telling Peter there? He said, Satan's going to try to sift you as wheat. He said, but guess what? It hadn't passed through my hands up underneath his. And there's nothing that you're going to go through today that hadn't went through God's hands and is prepared by the Master, by His almighty providence. You see, a lot of times we go through things and we wonder what happened. What are we doing? Why are we going through these things? Let me tell you, everybody that's suffering is not suffering because of sin. You know, a lot of people want to draw that conclusion. We'll look at it here later on because I really want to look at that point. You know, but everybody that's suffering don't suffer because of sin. You remember Job? Job was a man that was perfect and upright, and he eschewed evil. And he said, and it was such a compliment to Job for God to come to him and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I wonder if we could put our name in that place right there this morning. Has he considered my servant? And you put your name in there. You see, God's got something He's working out for us, and He can only do it. And it's only prepared by the Master's hands. But not only that, it's proof of the Master's hold. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to Psalm chapter number 91 right quick. Just hold your place there. I want you to see this verse. I go to this verse a lot in my life. It's found in Psalm chapter number 91 in verse number 15. Said, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." And here it is. "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Let me tell you something. God didn't come in this thing and place trouble on you and place suffering on you to get out of it and walk away from you. A lot of our friends, a lot of my family has walked out on me because I got into trouble. Let me tell you that never walked out on me. Jesus Christ. Somebody might be here today and say, "I've been in trouble and everybody's left me." But let me tell you, somebody, if you're saved, let me tell you that never left you. The Bible said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's been by my side. And everywhere I went, He's been right there. And I bumped into Him. And I tell you, He said it was all sufficient grace that He gave me. And I'm glad we got a God that don't walk out of us in our trouble, but He gets in our trouble with us. And we ought to shout amen and glory to God about that this morning, that we have a God that would care enough about us and be involved in the affairs of men, that He'd walk by our side no matter where I took Him and no matter what I'd done against Him. But let me tell you what He did. He got up underneath my side, and when I couldn't walk, He carried me. And I praise Him this morning that He's able to do that for us. And we ought to be careful to raise our hands and just thank Him. I thank Him for His almighty grace. And I tell you what it is, it's proof of the Master's hold. You see, because I'm one of His. I'm one of His children. And He loves to hold the hand of His children. But He's going to do it even in your suffering. And He's going to do it in your troubles. And He's going to do it in your trials. Not only that, it's purpose for the Master's holiness. You see, what is He doing? He's making you into Him. You say, what do you mean by that? Each step you take and each suffering you do, you know what you're doing? You're being more like Jesus. Look in, if you got your Bible, look back in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1. Look what it says in the chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "For as much as then as Christ has suffered us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise in the same mind." Here it is. "For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God." Let me tell you, He said, "Arm yourself likewise." You know why? He knows we're going to go through it. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He said, "Arm your mind with these things." He said, "Jesus suffered, you're going to suffer." And I tell you what it's going to do. It's going to make you more like Him. It's going to be purpose to the Master's holiness. You see, there's a work going on inside of you. He said this, "He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ." Let me tell you, there's a work going on in each one of us, and it's purpose for the Master's holiness. You see, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And let me tell you, if you're not becoming more holier each day, I ain't talking about some kind of sinless perfection. You see, people, they get scared when they start talking about being holy these days. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about living in sinless perfection. I'm talking about not living in sin's power and being conformed unto Christ. There's certainties in suffering. Let me tell you, I'm certain this morning there's somebody in here suffering. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be something that we can just, you know, that we can just shake off. But let me tell you what you got. You got somebody that's going to get in trouble with you. The certainties of suffering. Secondly, I want to look at the cause of suffering. Look down at verse 14. It says this, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified." And here's what I thought about a lot of times. I first got saved, and I was dating the pastor's daughter at the church I was going at. which if you've never been in that situation, let me tell you what they do. They put you under a microscope. I'll just be honest with you. I'm here for honesty this morning. They put you under a microscope. And they say, well, he did this wrong, and he did that wrong. You know, but let me tell you what. There's a cause we're going to suffer. And there's been people that says things around me and railed accusations. Let me tell you what it was. It was for the cause of Christ. It said, if you be a reproach for his name, you know, he's glorified on your part. You may be evil spoken of. They're not speaking evil of you. You know who they're speaking evil of? They're speaking evil of Christ. You see, there's nothing right. There's nothing like being right in the eyes of God. You see, we live in a day where every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. They're turning all to their own way. Let me tell you what, there's nothing like walking in the will of God and knowing you're right with Him and having confidence that whatever evil they're speaking of you, it's on Christ, and it's on your part, it's for the glory of God. You know, so there's a cause of suffering. I've got five things I want to look at in the cause of suffering that I'll go through very quickly because I want to get on down. It says, first of all, I want you to know that the cause of suffering is to deliver us from confidence in ourselves. Always deliver us from the confidence in ourselves. We see the man who's writing this is to take away our own stinking pride. And I want to say this. There's too much of me still in me. Hopefully you understand that this morning. You see, when I start looking on everything else, there's still too much of me in me. You see, John said it this way. He said, I must decrease so that he can increase. And in my life, you know what I got to do? Each and every day, I got to decrease so that he can increase. See, Peter was a man that took a fishing trip over in John chapter number 21. He said this. He said, I go a fishing. And we all know the story. And he said they went out there and fished all night and they caught nothing. And then Jesus came on the scene and this is what he said. He said, cast on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And they started casting. And old John, leaning on the bosom of Jesus, said, it's the Lord. They seen him on the shore and they said, it's the Lord. You know what Peter did? The Bible said he was out there naked. He said he girded his fisher's coat, and he jumped in the water, and he drug the net in, and 153 fishes. Jesus said, come and dine. Let me tell you, it's to deliver us from ourselves. You see, Peter was a man writing this. I think Peter had grown in the Lord. He'd already taken that fishing trip. And a lot of us, the cause of our suffering is because we got too much confidence in ourselves. And I've suffered because I had too much confidence in myself. I said to myself, I'll make my own decisions. I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. And that's where we find our country at this morning. Too many people are saying, I'll do what I want to. It's not, and I'm going to get down to this in a second, but one of the fastest growing verses in America, you know what it is? It used to be John 3:16. Now it's Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. And I want to look at that here in a minute, but I want to tell you, there are rules and stuff around judgment. There are rules that are applied to that. Not only to deliver us from confidence in ourselves, but to deliver us for Christian, to develop us for Christian service. You see, there's so many sufferings can only bring one thing, and that you can help other people. You see, there's been things I've went through that I've been able to help some other people. And there's been people in my life that have went through things that they've been able to help me from in my life. I remember my brother passed away, and I can remember Miss Renee's brother passed away. I remember, you know, going through that exact same thing, you know, and I knew what she was going through during that. And there's been some of you that's been sick, and then I've been sick, you know, and I've been able to watch what you've done and do what you've done. They've developed us for Christian service. Not only that, they display us for Christ's singularities. Paul said this in Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 9. He said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He said this in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed unto his death, if any means I might attain resurrection of the dead. You know what he said? He said, I could have fellowship in his sufferings. He said, I'm going to be made just like him, because it's going to display me for Christ, for Christ's similarities. It's going to bring me closer to Him. I'll tell you a story found in Matthew chapter number 11. Remember, John was beheaded in prison. And John was dead. Right before John died, he said this. He said, I've heard about Christ. He said, go see if He really be the Christ. And Jesus sent some. He sent two of his servants to Jesus to go see if he'd really be the Christ. Go see if he'd be the Messiah. And let me tell you what they did. They came back and he said, "Oh yeah, he's making the deaf." He said, Jesus told him, "Said go back and tell him he's making the deaf to hear and the lame to walk again." And then, let me tell you what happened. And then John was beheaded for the glory of God. And let me tell you what happened. Not later on, it's in Matthew chapter number 14. It starts talking about Jesus. He came on the scene, and Herod said, "Who is he?" And they said, "Well, we think he's John the Baptist, resurrected from the dead." You know what John was? He was so like Christ that they thought that Jesus was Christ. I mean, that John was Jesus. What a compliment in his life that you would be just like Christ. Let me tell you what that suffering is doing for you today. It's making you just like Christ. It's making you just like his being so much similar to him that it looked like he was Jesus himself. And it's conforming to that. Not only that, it drives us to Christ's side. You see, there's things that I've suffered through that I wouldn't be where I am with the Lord today except for that suffering or that trial that he put me in to bring me by his side, bring me right up next to him. Not only that, and the last thing is, it demonstrates his sufficiency. And I've heard this from my pastor 100 times, and I believe it all myself. He said, "Faith that is not tested is faith that cannot be trusted." Let me tell you, if your faith was never tested, you wouldn't know what kind of Jesus you had. You never know he'd be by your side. You never knew he'd walk with you. You never know he'd hold your hand. But thank God we got a God that'll hold our hand. There's a cause for our suffering. Not only that, I want us to look on down. We see the certainties of suffering. We see the cause of suffering. But I want to say this, the caution of suffering. The caution of suffering. Look back in our text found in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 17. I want you to look at this. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" I got down on my knees this morning and I prayed. And I began to think of my neighbors. And I began to think of all the people I knew, all my friends, all my family. And I began to weep and cry for this verse right here. This is really on my heart this morning. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at us, what should be the end of it? That to them that obey not the gospel." And I looked in my own life and I said, "Lord, rid me of anything. You see, there's some rules that are applied to judgment. And that's what I was talking about earlier. You see, it's all right for me to judge myself. But it's not all right for me to judge you. You see, a lot of people will cast judgment upon you. You know what that verse is written to? It was written to the body of Christ. But let me tell you what the application of it is. For each one of us in here in our life to apply it to ourselves and look into our own life and say, if judgment began at my house, where would the end be? And I began to think about my neighbors. I got neighbors who live right across the road from me that never been to church before in their life that I know of. And I said, what kind of example am I setting? I remember this. There was a man that lived next door to me. His name was Sam. He was a big guy. And he got cancer. You know, and I remember Sam. He was a man that, I remember I was unloading some blocks there at my house one day. And I began to unload those blocks and he saw me. And he came across that road and he said, "Here, let me help you." I was having to step off. I get a block off. I step off the back of my truck. I'd load it down on a pallet. I get back up on the back of my truck, get another block, load it down, step off, put it back on the pallet. He saw me doing that. He said, "I'll help you." And not long after that, Sam got cancer. And Sam passed away. And at his funeral, I began to thinking about this. I said, I wonder if I was a neighbor to that man that he was to me. I did everything I could for Sam, and I wanted to be there for Sam, and I was there for Sam, you know. And I remember praying for him that God would take his cancer away, and God didn't. God let him suffer, and God let him die. But let me tell you, I think we'll see him again on the other side. We'll see him up in glory. But God smote my heart, and He gave me that thought. He said, "Was I the neighbor to him that he was to me?" You see, we live in a day where we know how to build great neighborhoods. We know how to do all the building. We know how to build all the roads. We know how to lay all the pipes. We know how to put the gas in there. And we know how to build great neighborhoods. But we've forgotten how to be a great neighbor. We've forgot the most important thing, that God has set people, the neighbor. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? He said, who was a neighbor to him? Who was a neighbor to him? We know Jesus was the great Samaritan, and Jesus was the good neighbor. Let me tell you, God has placed you in neighborhoods this morning. Not that you can see a great neighborhood, but that you can be a great neighbor. And then you know where it's going to start at? It's going to start in that verse number 17. It's going to say judgment is beginning at the house of God. And I want to get back to this thought, the rules of judgment. You see, I was reading after one man in this, and this is what he said. He said, we'll never know the temptations of others and the trial, the strength of that trial. You see, you go through things and I go through things, but let me tell you what, something that may affect me may affect you more than it does me. And you may cast judgment upon me the way I handle something. And you may cast judgment upon your brother or your sister of how they handle it, but you never know what the strength of that trial was to them. You never know how it affected them. You don't know all the stuff that brought them to that trial. So be careful with cast judgment. There's rules of judgment. Not only that, there's respect of judgment. You must always know there's another person. If you're going to judge somebody, you always remember this. You have their life in your hands. You see, trust is not something that's easily gained, but it's always easily lost. I used to use this illustration in my Sunday school class when I was teaching the young boys. I'd say this. I remember Devin was in there. I don't know if he's still in here. I'd tell him this. I said, just perhaps I gave you 50 cents for a Coke machine. And I said, okay, yeah, here's your Coke. And I gave it to him, and all of a sudden that Coke fell out. You know, and I snatched it out of his hand and stole it right from him. And I was a Sunday school teacher, and I was a preacher, and I'd done all this stuff. You know what he'd do? He'd say, I never can trust that man again. You see, faith is something that's hard to gain, but it's easily lost. You see, you have to be respectful for the other person and who you're in the judgment. You see, I'm not talking about, you know, living a lifestyle of sin. I'm talking about you have to be careful with this thing, because you can ruin another person. So there's always respect of persons in judgment. Not only that, you'll see a responsibility in judgment. You see, you don't always act on your first instinct. And that's been being taught to me more and more this day than anything I know, is to get all the stuff together before you act on anything. You see, there's people today that they're quick to judge. That's why that people use that excuse over in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 1, about being judged, they use it as an excuse for not living right. So let me tell you, God set judges. There's judges, great judges in America today. And He set them there and ordained them for a reason. And you remember in the book of Numbers, in the book of Exodus, God chose out judges for those tribes so that they could handle the affairs of those tribes. So judges, be careful in how you use that word, Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 1. Let me read it. My train of thoughts lost. Judge not that you be not judged. Thank you, Pastor. Let me tell you, we have to be careful in what we do and what we say. You see, because there's a caution in suffering. You see, some people are suffering because of sin. And that's what he's talking about there in verse number 7. If verse number 16, he said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his house, on his behalf. He said, don't suffer as a Christian. He's talking about people that have got out in sin. Let me tell you, there's a flip side of that. And I said this earlier. Not everybody is suffering because of sin. Be careful with that. Not only that, I want to close this off this morning. We'll see the certainties of suffering, the cause of suffering, the caution of suffering, but the conclusion of suffering. Why does God make us suffer? That's a question everybody always answers. I remember a man preached here one morning. His name was Stennett Blue. He said this, bad things make good people. Bad things make good people. And there's been things that has happened in my life that I thought was bad, but let me tell you what they were doing. They was doing what they said here in verse number 19. Let's read that verse. It says, "Were for him that let him them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Let me tell you what he's doing. He's making you more valuable than gold. You're going to go through some pain down here. You're going to go through some heartache down here. You're going to go through some trials down here. But let me tell you what it's doing. It's to reveal His glory to you. You see, there's going to be things that you could... If heaven was heaven down here, it wouldn't be heaven up there. There was a man that wrote this song. He said, heaven will surely be worth it all. This is what he said in that song. He said, often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. He He said many of the trials, toils and tears, many a heartache may hear of Paul, but the dear Lord so truly says, heaven will surely be worth it all. He said, toiling and pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Paul said it this way. He said, these things that are going on in us, he said this in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth it. It can be paired with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul said, this stuff is happening down here, and we all know Paul was persecuted. We know he went through many troubles. We know Paul was suffered. We know Paul was martyred for Christ. We know all the things he went through. But he said this. He said, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Let me tell you what's going to happen one day. All these sufferings we got, we're going to lay them down. There was a man that preached here once. He said, the land of no mores. I'm glad we're not going to a place where there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more disappointments. There'll be no more devil. Thank God I'm on my way to a glory land. I'm glad we're going to a place where the builder and maker is God this morning. I'm glad we're going to a place these sufferings we will lay down. These sufferings today may take you to a better place than Christ. And you say, it may even help your brother and your sister out. But let me tell you what it's going to do. One of these days the clouds are going to be rolled back. And Jesus is going to let us know why we suffered. And we're going to see Him. And then Paul said it wouldn't be even, nothing to compare with the present world to the glory that should be revealed in us. Thank God we're going to a place where God's going to remove all that stuff from us. He's going to roll back the clouds one day and let us see why we suffered for His sake. Thank you for your attention this morning.